Houston, it's time to turn up the heat. From Hiram Clark to Lake Houston, breaking news, bold takes, trades, and trash talk, you name it. Get ready for the hottest sports talk in the city.
Holla at your boy.
The B-Block is hot on the drive.
All right, welcome in. It's Wednesday. B-Block is with us. The block is hot with Brandon Scott in here as we're getting closer and closer to this season starting. They had joint practice today in Charlotte with the Panthers and apparently just dominated their asses in a major way. When you got the head coach for the other team telling you how bad it was, that's
going back to the drawing board, waving the white flag.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Bryce said it wasn't very fun today. that's what got me. We can get into that a little bit, but the big move and the big news of the week with the Texans is we knew they got the injury to Jaden Huggins.
Him and Hutch together.
Yeah. Jaden Higgins. And obviously that was huge. And then it was even bigger when you start to hear the coaches talk about him, especially D'Amico, and talk about how important he is. Well, they go out and they make a move, an aggressive move, I would say, and they trade a young promising safety in Reed over to New England, and they bring back Kayshon Boutte. Your thoughts on the aggressive move that the Texans made to bring in a replacement for Higgins?
I thought they had to have it. And I'll be honest, like, after this Higgins injury happened, I didn't really like none of the options because I didn't know who was really available. Obviously, Kayshon Boutte's name had been thrown out there once we start kind of looking at the landscape, looking at who has a surplus at wide receiver. But without really knowing how available he was and how doable a deal was, I just didn't like any of the options, talking about grabbing guys off the street, some of the older guys, which they did do, brought in Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones. Didn't necessarily love that. And for as much as I've respected what the depth of the wide receivers have done in camp and in preseason, I didn't feel like any one guy could step into that role that you were expecting Jaden Higgins to fill or to serve in. So I thought that they were going to have to do something, or we were going to have to expect something outsized from somebody that was already on the team, like Xavier Hutchinson. You got to really show your worth now. Tank Dell, the question of what is Tank Dell? When is he going to be ready? And Clint, by the way, you let Luke take a turn from me about Tank Dell. When is he going to be ready for violence? Luke got that.
Oh, was that you? I may have heard you say it. I've been giving him credit for a month.
I've said it with you and with Luke. So, but that was my thing. It's like, when is he going to be ready for violence? And we still don't have a great answer for that question.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a much more urgent question, obviously, once Jaden Higgins goes down. You go get Kayshon Boutte, and now that tank question can go sit where it's been sitting the entire time, and whatever he gives you is luxury. And to the point that y'all have been making over the last couple of days, I think it's a good one. You do a couple of things. You replace, relatively speaking, the production that Jaden Higgins either had given you or was expected to give you. You can reasonably expect that from Kayshon Boutte. And then more specifically, that downfield threat that I think Ron was talking about maybe yesterday of like, man, they haven't had that.
That may be more important. I'm not saying, like I said yesterday, I don't know that he's better than Higgins, but that quality, that skill set, you've talked about Fuller, you talked about that. They just haven't even had that as a threat. And I think that is a big potential if they use it.
Yeah, so that's my big thing is the big playability plus the production. I think he had 6 touchdowns last year, just like Higgins did, right?
13 games, yep.
But then you've got that big playability. And then another big thing, and Clint, I know you appreciate this, is the fact that he already knows the offense.
Yeah.
The learning curve should not be too steep. It should be relatively smooth from that standpoint, having played in the system already. So all of these things kind of come together and just make perfect sense for the Texans.
What about, because this is the most fascinating piece of it. I didn't think the Texans would, I didn't think New England would trade a much needed piece, regardless of what you think of the player. I would think there would be other suitors that they would choose to do business with before they do it with the Texans. It was my thought. So, tip to cap to Nick for pulling it off. The fascinating thing to me about Kayshon Boutte is, man, if I think the ceiling is a lot higher than what we've seen. Like I think Boutte, I think he is a 1,000-yard receiver potentially. I'm not saying he's going to do it here because you're doing it with Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz and a run first offense and all that. But I when he slipped in the draft and he came to the league, I thought, okay, this is a dude that in the right spot could give you like 1,000-yard type stuff. And so I've thought that in my mind. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard D'Amico Ryan kind of mention today, hey, you know, we think we can get more out of Kayshon Boutte, not just what we've seen him do. So
yeah, I 100% agree with that. And then another thing that I would say is specific to his role with the Texans, he has not played with a receiver as good as Nico Collins in his career, in his NFL career. Yeah. So I think that opportunities – that are going to be there for Kayshon Boutte. One of the things that I was focusing on with Jaden Higgins and that injury, and I think I mentioned this last week, is how, you know, Nico Collins is your coverage dictator and Jaden Higgins was the guy that's supposed to make you pay for said strategy against Nico Collins. Well, I think Kayshon Boutte can fill that role specifically, and then just the fact that he's been productive without playing with a guy like that. And Nico Collins, as we already know, is going to take up a great deal of attention. And I suspect that Kayshon Boutte and also C.J. Stroud, a guy that likes to chunk it deep, but haven't really had, A, the time to chunk it deep as much over the last couple of years, or the personnel with Tank Dell being in and out and mostly out of the lineup. So it does a number of things, the production, the deep threat ability, the familiarity with the offense, and then, of course, him not ever playing with a player the caliber of Nico Collins. I think you're going to be able to get a lot out of Kayshon Boutte.
Yep, yeah, that's the hope. But at the very least, like to me, like what Rashid Shaheed brought to the Seahawks, that fear of a downfield threat just that he was out there loosened up things for Jaxon Smith-Njigba and their offense. So, you know, the sky, the ceiling maybe up where you're talking about is a 1,000-yard receiver, but at the very least, he is going to bring a fear. That is proven fear.
Look, it's likely that it's not going to happen because, I mean, it's just for a guy to jump into a system and all of a sudden, you know, skyrocket like that. But it's not crazy. I mean, look, he was in an organization that was hiring defensive coordinators as OCs at one point. Wasn't he there that year? And he was there for 3 years. Maybe he missed the Matt Patricia year.
Oh, you know, I don't think he was. I don't know if he was there for that
year. He didn't get a Matt Patricia year with Belichick's last year there?
He's been there a few years now, so he might have. He's
been there 3 years, so I think he may have.
Yeah, that. I think he did. But to the point that you're making, just think about the fact that you can even make that point about him. Who was the receiver that the Texans had before, absent of Jaden Higgins, obviously, that you could even say that about? Like, honestly, like, I think this guy's got 1,000-yard potential.
Yeah.
It just was not there outside of Nico Collins. Of course, Tank has that as well, but you don't know what you're going to get there. So just that you could even say that about a guy that they've added, or they've added a guy that you can say that about, I think speaks volumes.
You cover this team, B. Scott, here with us on the drive, as he is every Wednesday. Any notable players, if we're getting closer to the end, any notable players that you think may be in trouble of making this team?
Yeah, I got to look at the offensive lineman, and I hate that what happened to Braden Smith happened to him today. Yeah. But I'm very curious to see I know he's being evaluated for a foot injury. But he already looked like he was sort of competing for a spot that I think when he got signed here, a lot of people had already kind of penciled him in for and just assumed that was going to be your right tackle. So there's a question there. But the big one is Wyatt Teller, right? Like, Wyatt Teller is the name, the former All-Pro, one of the, what I thought at least, was one of their marquee signings outside of David Montgomery. And I think I was even making the case that he was their most important signing of the offseason just because left guard had been such a turnstile and such a disaster, if we're just being real about it, a disaster for years now, years. And so I thought that they finally had found the answer, assuming that Wyatt Teller was going to be healthy and extra motivated for how things ended in Cleveland. And it could just be the case that Buddy ain't got it no more. Or at the very least, the guy that they drafted in Keelan Rutledge is a better guard and something we've been talking about from watching practices. He might be their best offensive lineman, period, already. Now, that's tough to say considering he hasn't played a real NFL game yet. But based off of what we're seeing right now, that's not a crazy claim or a crazy thing to say about Keelan Rutledge. And certainly one of the better guys, the best guy on the interior. So whether it was him playing center or guard, you figured he was going to have to play. But to your question, Ron, it's turned out that Wyatt Teller is could be like this year's version of Lake and Tomlinson. Him and Braden Smith could have been this year's version of the combination of Lakin Tomlinson and Cam Robinson, guys that you brought in.
They made it to the season, though.
Yeah. Well, but
sort of.
It could be that you learn your lesson. Like, let's not fiddle around with this thing when we know and we can see in training camp that they can't even play with our young guys, that they can't even make it through training camp truly. So Wyatt Teller is the main name for me out of guys that I was expecting to be a big part of this team that may not be on the team at all.
All right, before we get you out of here, what's your feel? What's your feel on Tank Dell? Like, it's hard not to look and feel like, was there some sort of a setback or something? Because he was rolling, and then they have halted it. Now they bring in multiple receivers, including trading a valuable, you know, member of their team and a draft pick to bring in Booty. Do you got a feel of what's going on with Tank Dell, when we may see him?
If it's not a setback, then they clearly change their plan with him midstream somewhere, or decided to dial it back. Like, I got a hard time believing that it was a part of the plan to throw him out there in practices a little bit and then to completely withhold him from there. Right. My ears first perked up last week when he didn't really participate at all in that Raiders joint practice. He was actually out there. People have said he wasn't out there. He was out there, but he was out there with a muscle shirt on and some sweats and walking around with the McNair kids and that type of thing, right? Like, he wasn't participating. Might as well not have been out there. And so it is an odd thing if there wasn't a setback. And, of course, it's a discouraging thing if there was. And so if you had asked me this a week and a half, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, I would have felt really encouraged. I was optimistic, actually, that Tank Dell was not only going to be back, but perhaps be ready to play.
He's not playing against Buffalo.
Well, we see the workout videos. It looks like he's moving fluid. It looks like he could be Tank. And then he's not out there. So it's definitely been kind of a yo-yo type of feeling, like up and down. And no, I don't have a great sense for when we're going to see him. But if you were to hold my feet to the fire right now, I would guess that he starts the season either on IR or PUP list or something to that effect, which would be really discouraging and disappointing because everybody is rooting for Tank, on top of the fact that just having him would add a whole nother dimension to this offense.
That old Instagram life ain't always real, is it?
It's not. I thought him running routes against Aziz Alshire and company was real.
Yeah.
Well, I thought.
Well, I expected by now, kind of to your question, I expected by now to have an answer to my original question, which was, when will Tank Dell be ready for violence? And I don't know the answer. I don't know if they know the answer. Right. And so without that, it's hard to predict when we might see him.
Well, we know we're about to be through three preseason games, and it has not occurred.
And it makes you are doubtful that they would throw him out there having seen no action in the joint practices, no action in preseason, and even being dialed back at practice. Kind of hard to believe that he'd go out there and be ready for week one or week two or week three, for that matter.